morning, as we prepare to spend time together in God's Word, once again, I'd like to invite you to reach for your worship bulletin. And if you would, go ahead and turn to the back inside portion of your worship bulletin. There you'll find a place for you to take some sermon notes. I trust that the Lord will lay something on your heart this morning as we spend time together in God's Word, something that He ultimately desires for you and for me to take out into those various places we go this week so that we can share the hope and the faith that we have in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, especially to a world that is dying to know what true hope really is. Also, you'll find a place there that notes some sermon takeaways. My hope and prayer is that this week, as you continue to meditate upon the Word that the Lord will ultimately share with us, that these sermon takeaways will add to and complement the Word that the Lord will ultimately bring this morning. So this week, as I was thinking about the message for today, something that came to mind was the time of transition that Kara and I had in going from Richmond, Virginia to Fort Wayne, Indiana. And one of the things that came to mind this week was the driving exam that this good old state of Indiana requested of me before I could continue driving my car here, there, and everywhere. And one of the things, and if you've taken the test recently, or if you can think back to when you took that test, whenever that might have been, you can think back to the portion of that driving exam that required you to know signs. You know what I'm talking about? For example, let's do a little interactive portion to our message this morning. So if you see this in a driving test manual, or maybe if you see this on the road, what is this sign communicating to you and to me? What's the warning sign here? Somebody shout it out. Watch out for deer. Yeah, in other words, if you don't want to drive home tonight with a 160-pound hood ornament on your car, you might want to keep your eyes peeled. I see a lot of deer in this area, especially around the farm back here and on certain roads. And sometimes I wonder, how did they get into town? And maybe some of you are thinking that as you watch them chew down your landscaping plants and your hostas and other things like that. How did you get here, right? That one's an easy one. How about this one? No parking, yeah. What's the consequence of parking in a no parking place? Maybe you come out and find your car's gone. Or maybe you come out to find that you've had a ticket courtesy of the city of Fort Wayne resting on your car that requires action afterwards, right? Or how about this one? That's a gimme, right? It's spelled out for you right there in black and, well, not black and white, black and orange, right? Yeah. Typically, what follows a sign like this? What can you expect as you go down the road? Construction, absolutely. Does that ever happen in Fort Wayne? Oh, yeah, the people laughed, yeah, absolutely, construction upon construction, yeah, especially as you go on the interstate, highways, byways, you name it, it seems like there's always something being built, right? So as I'm going through the driving manual and I'm preparing for this exam, I think, okay, I know these, right? These are some areas of overlap from state to state and sometimes even from city to city, right? Those are gimmies. But I don't know if you notice this, but you get to a point in the exam and in the booklet where they start to throw a couple curves your way. Let me show you what I'm talking about. They start to give you the shape and maybe the color, but they omit the word, right? So you see this and you're thinking, okay, you're supposed to know what the warning is there. And based on the shape and color, what is that sign? It's a stop sign, yeah. And what do they want you to do? Stop, yeah. How about this one? Oh, a hush fell across the crowd, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Do not enter, right? Places that the city does not want you to go for any number of reasons, right? Do not go. Do not enter. How about this one? Some of you actually see smoke coming out of your ears by this point in time. You're like, oh, stop it. Yeah. What is this one? Wrong way. See, I should have said that. Your thinking is going this way. You're going the wrong way. You're supposed to come back to this, right? Yeah. So the state of Indiana wants you to be able to know what the warning signs are, what certain signs communicate, what the meaning is behind that. And they want you to know it front to back, left to right, top to bottom. They want you to know, based on the size of the sign, what the warning is. They want you to know, based on the shape, what the warning or the encouragement is. They want you to know, based on the color, what the warning or the encouragement or the direction is. All these different things guiding us and leading us and moving us in certain directions. But let me ask you this. And by the way, this isn't in the driver's manual, in case you're wondering. What's it look like when the sign is flesh and blood? What's it look like when the sign is a living and breathing and mobile person? Today, as we spend time together in God's Word and as we continue to track through the story, we're going to come to see what that looks like when the sign and the message is flesh and blood, a person, people, men, women, and children, sent and strategically planted by none other than God Himself to send a message, a warning, or an element of redirection. At this time, what I'd like to do is I'd like to encourage you and invite you to turn your attention to the screens up front for today's sermon video. And I'd like to invite you to look and listen in for the signs that God is setting before His people through people like you and me. Let's take a look.
During the time that Israel was divided, God told a prophet named Elijah that there would be a drought in the land. He directed Elijah to leave the area and live by himself for 3 years near a ravine where he would have all the water he needed. One day, God told Elijah to go and confront King Ahab and his wife Jezebel about leading the Israelites to worship a false god named Baal. Elijah asked Ahab and all the people of Israel to meet him on the top of a mountain. Ahab brought 450 prophets of Baal with him. Elijah decided to conduct a challenge to prove that he followed the true God. Two bulls were brought to be sacrificed. The prophets of Baal laid down pieces of wood and put the bull on it, but did not set fire to it. "Call on the name of your God," Elijah challenged, "and I will call on mine. Whichever answers by fire, he is God." From early morning until noon, the prophets asked their God Baal to send fire, but nothing happened. Elijah taunted them, "Shout louder! Perhaps your God is in deep thought or sleeping." So they shouted louder and cut themselves with their swords and spears, but still nothing happened. He quickly built an altar using 12 stones, one to represent each tribe of Israel. Finally, he asked those around him to pour water all over the bull and the wood. There was so much water flowing that it filled the trench around the altar. Then Elijah called out, "Let it be known today that you are God in Israel." And fire fell from the sky and burned up the bull, the wood, and even the stones and soil, vaporizing all the water around it. The prophets of Baal were then arrested and killed in the valley below the mountain. When King Ahab returned home and told his wife Jezebel what happened, she was furious and sent word to Elijah that she was going to have him killed. So Elijah fled to the wilderness. There he met an angel sent by God to take care of him, who gave him food and water. Eventually, God told Elijah that Elisha would take his place as a prophet in Israel. Not long after, Elijah and Elisha were walking along the road, and a chariot and horses made of fire appeared out of nowhere and took Elijah up into the sky. So Elisha continued to do God's work, performing miracles, and at one point even raising a young boy from the dead. Elisha stretched out his body over the boy and caused him to sneeze 7 times, bringing him back to life. For many years after, God continued to use Elisha and a number of other prophets to perform miracles and warn the Israelites of all that would happen to them if they did not follow God. Despite the prophets' warnings, the next several kings led Israel further and further from God. It was only a matter of time before things had to change.
So last week, as we were spending time together in God's Word, we talked about the consequences of King Solomon's choices and decisions to pursue other marriages to women who ultimately took his heart away from the Lord. And last week, what we also saw too was we started to see something happen, a chain reaction of events. If you can recall what we talked about last week, and if I could share with you an image from last week, it was this. We talked about how Solomon's decisions and choices in terms of pursuing other women connected to other religions, while it took his heart away from the Lord, it also sent out a ripple effect, a shock wave among the nation. And sadly enough, we started to see a number of other leaders take the stage. Other leaders like Jeroboam up in the north, who ultimately took God's people away from God's heart. And Solomon's own son himself, Rehoboam, in the south, once again too, took God's people away from his heart. And we saw this happen time and time again. And if I could put it this way for us this morning, it would be this. God, in a number of different ways, venues, arenas, situations, relational context, was throwing up all these different signs. For example, as you go into this new land, this promised land that I'm giving you, be advised, there are people there who will lead your hearts away from me. They will invite you to do things that don't sound all that intimidating and scary at first, but ultimately they will take your heart away from me. Be warned, caution. Then we saw how there were times where God said, okay, now that you're in the land, don't enter here. Don't go this way. It looks harmless, it looks painless, but it will take you away from me. It's toxic. It will crush our relationship. Don't go this way. But time and again, we saw the people go that way, the wrong way. Finally, God would get to a point, too, where he would throw up a big stop sign, and he would say, okay, enough is enough. Stop it. And for a while, the people would stop. But based upon the leadership that the people had, they oftentimes would go one of two ways, either with the Lord or further away. So when we come to the situation connected with Solomon, we see the kingdom of Israel actually ripped, sadly enough, in two. And we have a ripple effect going on in the north, idol worship, following false idols and false gods, people stepping further and further away from the Lord. And in the south, from Solomon's own son, once again, not good leadership, someone who's been called to champion the heart of God, leading people away from God's own heart, a ripple effect, a nasty, ugly ripple effect down there, and it's messy, and it's ugly. What we saw today, and I hope you picked up on this in our video, is that God got to a point of throwing out some pretty important signs, flesh and blood signs, people not too different from you and from me, people called to do extraordinary things and to serve an extraordinary God and to point God's people back the other way. This is the wrong way. Go that way. And we saw this morning in our first reading, didn't we, with the prophet Elijah. Once again, God using Elijah, this prophet, as a living, breathing, moving sign to direct God's people to go back the other way, not this way, away from God, but closer. And we saw how well that worked from time to time. This morning, let me just pause and ask you this question, ask us this question this morning. When was the last time you had a you're going the wrong way kind of moment? You ever had one of those in life? Yeah? Yeah. I think back to a trip I took not long ago, and I'm going down the interstate, and I'm positive I'm following the right signs, right? And I take the exit, and I go around the corner, and I completely miss the sign I really needed to. And my car quickly approached the E, and I was in a very frantic place. When's the last time you had one of those moments? Or maybe just to refine that question this morning, when was the last time you experienced a going the wrong way moment in your life as a Christ follower? You see, if we think back to our scripture reading for this morning and we look back time and again in God's word, tracking up to this point in scripture today and through the story, we see that there's a lot of struggles and a lot of hiccups and a lot of bumps and a lot of unplanned, unintentional detours on behalf of the people. And sadly enough, at every turn, every juncture, when given the opportunity, it seems to go with the Lord, it seems that the internal compass tends to gravitate towards another way. So what's that been like for you this week? Or maybe to refine it even a little bit further, Is there something that God is calling you to this week? Or is there something God is calling you away from? For example, sometimes we run into things called temptations and sins throughout the week, don't we? Things that God is throwing up a big warning sign saying, don't go this way. It's not good. It's toxic. Danger, danger. But maybe sometimes we gravitate towards that way, don't we? Maybe there's things God has called us not to look at, not to be a part of, not to say, and not to do. But sometimes maybe we completely blow past the signs and go the wrong way. What's that look like for you at home? Maybe there are things that God is calling you towards. For example, I'm calling you to serve your wife, or your husband. I'm calling you to show care, honor, and respect for your mom or your dad. I'm calling you to invest in your son or your daughter's life. What's that look like for you at home? Or maybe at work this week, when you go this week, what will that look like for you? What is God calling you towards? And I know right now you're thinking, Pastor Seth, if you only knew the person I had to work with, oh, you would change your sermon today. But I have to wonder, what is God calling you to do in that relationship context so that somebody else sees Jesus in you? What's that look like in school? We've said this before. Sometimes we go to school, oftentimes, right? Oftentimes we go to school to be taught. But maybe, just maybe, there's a place for you to be the teacher in terms of teaching somebody else what it looks like to model grace and humility as connected to our Lord Jesus. So let me ask you once again, as you think about the signs that God is setting before you today, what is God calling you towards? And maybe, what are the things God is calling you away from? We recognize that on a daily basis, God sets these signs before us, sometimes in very profound ways, but sometimes in subtle ways. But the truth remains, God in his love for you and for me sets these daily signs before us in the strength of a relationship with him, right? And we see this in a big way through our Lord Jesus, don't we? God's big sign and big statement in terms of the consequences of sin. Jesus takes in himself the consequences of sin. All the times we've gone the wrong way, all the times we've said the things we weren't supposed to, all the times we've not done the things he's called us to, all of those things Jesus Christ takes in himself and gives to you and to me grace and mercy and forgiveness day after day after day, even today. The writer and the author of the Hebrews, letter to the Hebrews says it best, chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, the author writes this for us. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. If it wasn't enough to have scripture, if it wasn't enough to have the prophets, God himself comes to us, flesh and blood, a living, breathing, caring, nurturing, forgiving, grace-filled sign for you and for me. And this sign, this Jesus, comes to you and to me today. And he invites us once again, walk with me in this way. Leave the struggles, the sins, the mistakes, leave the baggage behind and walk with me this way. In what part of your life does that invitation resonate with you this morning? Let me throw that out to us as a congregation, as a body of Christ, as the children of God gathered here at Praise Lutheran Church on DuPont Road in this part of the city. What kind of sign is God calling us to be to our surrounding community? Not just to the people who already know Jesus, but especially to the people who don't know about the love and forgiveness and grace and hope of God for us in Jesus. What kind of sign is God calling us to be? How about a sign and reflection of Jesus? The sign that goes out and plants himself where people are, meets people where they're at, in their home, in their place of work, in their neighborhoods, their schools. Let me leave you with this question. Where is God calling you to be his messenger this week? If you think back to the prophets, all these men that God raised up to point people in the right direction, back to God's heart, where is God calling you this week to be his messenger, to point somebody else back to his heart? Is there someone in your life this week who needs to be pointed back to Jesus' heart? And if you're that person that needs to be directed, may God bless you with messengers in your life this week to point you back to Jesus' heart. Amen.